The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes I preach on Sunday, and then after Mass, somebody will come up to me and say, Father, I felt like you were talking to me. And I would like to be clear that today I am talking to you, specifically you. What I want to tell you is that the Father is pleased with you, specifically you. The Father is well pleased with you. And that's the really, really good news from the gospel today. Now, to be totally theologically accurate, when Jesus comes up out of the waters, having been baptized by John, the heavens open up and the Father speaks to Jesus and says, This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Yes, the Father in the gospel today speaks to Jesus. But the whole beauty and the glory of the Christian life is that because we've entered with Jesus into the waters of baptism, we, as St. Paul says, rise with Jesus. We enter with him into the grave. We rise with him out of the grave. And we become members of the body of Christ and therefore adopted sons and heirs to the heavenly kingdom. So, as members of the body of Christ, we share at the very core of our being in the sonship of Jesus Christ. And we hear the Father say to us, With you I am well pleased. And this is the best possible news that we have, brothers and sisters, because if we examine our lives quietly, deeply, honestly, if we look at our hearts and the desires of our hearts, and we start at the surface of things we want, but if we keep digging down and we keep looking at the depths of our deepest desires, we will find eventually, somewhere at the very center of the heart, is this desire to know that we are loved by the Father and that he is happy with us. Somewhere in the very center of our hearts, there's this desire, this wanting to know, Father, are you pleased with me? And the answer that we receive is yes, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And with you, I am well pleased. And the whole of the spiritual life, brothers and sisters, consists in this. That Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of the Father, and that now he dwells, and there's different translations of this in Scripture, maybe at the right hand of the Father, or very near the Father, or in the bosom of the Father, and that we are now united with Christ, united with his sacred heart as members of his body, and in him we dwell in the bosom of the Father. And it's coming to that knowledge, and coming to an ever deeper realization of that knowledge, and then living out of that reality. That's what the whole spiritual life consists of. And every other place that we seek happiness, every other place that we seek fulfillment, every other place that we seek our identity is misleading. It's going to come up short, and it's going to leave us disappointed and broken, because this is what we were made for. And the deepest desires of our heart correspond to the knowledge that we are loved by the Father. Now, I was talking with a priest friend yesterday about, we were discussing ideas for preaching, and He said to me, there is nothing you can do. And when he said this, by the way, my heart like burst into flames. He said, there's nothing you can do to make the Father love you less. And there's nothing you can do to make the Father love you more. And my own heart leapt at the good news of that statement. There's nothing you can do to make the Father love you less, and there's nothing you can do to make the Father love you more. And this is where I kind of want to pull back the curtain a little bit and talk to you about how, you know, we as priests preach and teach and prepare homilies. And one of the things that you may not often think about is what we stand up here and say to you on Sunday is sort of a matter of conscience for us. You know, I'm deeply aware of the fact that in my vocation as priest and in the responsibilities given to me, I will answer to the Lord for how I preach to his people. And sometimes I feel like I don't preach toughly enough. Is toughly a word? I don't preach tough enough. I've been with you for 3 years. You know that I don't really preach a lot of fire and brimstone. I just don't. I don't preach a lot about sin. I don't really stand up here and do a, you know, firebrand preaching from the pulpit, calling you to repent from your wicked lives. And every once in a while, I ask myself, am I failing in my duty? Because let's be clear, sin is real. And there's a lot of it in our lives. And it is infinitely offensive against God. And sin is dangerous. We do untold damage to ourselves every time that we sin, every time that we turn away from God. And the more serious sins break our relationship with the Lord more definitely. So sin is very real, and it's very serious, and it's very dangerous, and it's very harmful. So why don't I preach about it more often? And I said to my friend yesterday, I said, yeah, this is really good news. The Father's love is unconditional. There's nothing I can do to make him love me less. There's nothing I can do to make him love me more. And I said, my fear is if I stand up there tomorrow and say that there are people who will say, see, it doesn't matter how I live because the Father loves me anyway. I'm good. And then the very next thought that I had sort of answered my own question. And I remembered why I really try to focus on preaching the good news of the Father's love for us. And that's this. Fear does not lead to lasting conversion. Fear is not an authentic path to sanctity, in my opinion. Right? If people have sort of the fear of hell put into them, so to speak, they can, for a while, live better lives. And the church does teach that attrition, which is doing good or repenting of sin out of fear of punishment, it does suffice. It is better to do good and avoid evil because we're afraid of punishment than it is to do sin because we're embracing it more fully with our hearts. That's true. But the reality is, the deepest reality, is that the only authentic chance that we have for sanctity is to realize that we live out of the Father's love. In other words, what I mean by that is being loved by the Father and having him be pleased with our lives is not a goal that we're striving towards. It's not something that we can attain by being good enough or by being disciplined enough to refrain from the sinful desires we may have. It's not something that we can attain. Nor is the Father's love for us or his delight in us something that is lost through our sinfulness. So the path to authentic conversion, brothers and sisters, and this is why I don't preach a lot of fire and brimstone, but why I do preach a lot of the love of God. Because the path for authentic conversion, authentic redemption, being saved in our lives, and not saved in the Protestant notion maybe, but having our lives authentically redeemed, and true happiness and true abiding in the Father is possible in this life only if we come to a deeper realization that our identity, who we are, is beloved sons and daughters of the Father. And he delights in us. He made us because he wanted us. He delights in us. He desires us. And he is pleased with us. And we live not striving to make that real, but we live out of that reality. And therein lies the only authentic path to the spiritual life.